Welcome to the Fearfully and Wonderfully Me podcast, a podcast designed to help you increase your influence, develop your leadership, and maximize your results. Hello, everyone. Welcome to today's podcast episode. I mentioned on the last podcast episode, I wanted to do a couple just touching on the topic of change and how we can increase our influence when change happens. And last podcast episode, I talked about we can respond to change in two ways. So if you didn't catch that, make sure you go back and listen to that one, because that sets the foundation for today's podcast episode on the fear of change. And I did touch on this just briefly at the end of the last podcast episode, because so many of us, and so much of the time, when change happens, we are afraid of change. And that's not an abnormal reaction, because fear is what happens when anxiety over something becomes overwhelming to us. Fear is that strong emotion that occurs when we think that there's a really high probability of danger or something can be a threat. Now, the sad part is that so much of the time we spend time and energy caught up in the emotion of fear, of being afraid of something that may not actually ever happen. And perhaps to some degree, that's how our brain is wired. Our brain is incredibly talented with the gift of imagination, but so much of the time that useful tool. Imagination can be a beautiful thing, right? Imagination is the tool, the creative tool of hope, because you can imagine a better possibility. And I want to circle back around to that. But imagination can also take you the wrong direction, because imagination can also come up with all of the bad things that might happen. And sometimes we get caught up in that in a bad or unhealthy way. Now, to a certain degree, being able to imagine possible negative outcomes is a sign of learning and growth and to some degree maturity, right? So for example, when you get in the car to drive to work tomorrow, odds are good, you're going to reach for your seatbelt and put it on, because your imagination has allowed you to realize what could happen, A, if you have a wreck, B, without wearing your seatbelt, it could be more harmful to you. And so your imagination allows you to think through that as a possibility, even if it's not very likely, it's definitely a possibility. And so your imagination can think through that and say, well, how can I decrease the risk? Well, here's how I can decrease the risk of something bad happening if I have a car wreck. I can wear my seatbelt. So that's a good thing. That's a good way that our imagination coming up with possible potential negative outcomes can be very healthy. The problem is when it becomes overwhelming and we spend too much of our time and attention focusing on the things that could go wrong that we don't have any control over. And that's the key difference. You may not can control whether you have a car wreck. I mean, you can do all you can. You can drive safely. You can, you know, drive smart. Don't fall asleep. But sometimes the car wreck might not be in your control, right? Sometimes it's the other person who's not doing what they need to do. But you can control if you're wearing your seatbelt. So where fear or imagination of a possible negative outcome becomes overwhelming is when we spend too much of our time and energy directing our thoughts toward the things that we cannot control. If you spent too much of your time and energy thinking about the possibility of a car wreck, you might not get in the car at all. And that might hold you back from having a job, right? Or going to get groceries. You might starve because you don't get groceries from the grocery store, you know? And I'm taking that to a little bit of an extreme example, but just to make the point, the key to this and not letting fear overwhelm us is focusing on what we can control. The vast majority of our fears are completely unfounded. So when we fear change, we end up worse off than we are now. That's what we're fearful of. When we fear change, we're afraid that the next thing or the new situation is going to leave us worse off than we are now, right? We fear a loss of some kind. So anytime we're fearful of change, it's time to take a step back, number one, and look at why we are afraid to begin with. So here are three common fears related to change. And again, I touch on these in the book that I co-wrote with Mac on Change Happens, Leading Yourself and Others Through Change. I think that the first thing, leading yourself through change is important, because until you can lead yourself through change, it's going to be really difficult to lead or influence others through change. Now, if you're in a formal leadership role of authority, responsibility, part of your job is to help your team learn to embrace change, learn to leverage change, right? That's part of your job and your role as the leader, is develop them so that they don't always automatically respond to change in a negative way. And that's just part of the leader's responsibility. But so many leaders miss that, either because they're not aware of the critical importance of it. They just throw changes at the team and then they wonder why everybody's resistant, or they're not able to lead themselves through change. So three common fears related to change. Number one, fear of the unknown. I touched on this, but most of the time, most of us like to know what's coming. We don't like really big, unexpected surprises in areas that are critically important to us, because that there again, that uncertainty means we might not like the new situation. And we generally don't like that. We generally like change when it's our idea, but we like control over the things that are critically important to us. So even though our fears are frequently never realized, sometimes we just have that fear of the unknown. So to overcome this, focus on the facts of the situation instead of telling yourself a story that may or may not even be true. Number two, fear of losing control. And this kind of goes right on top of fear of the unknown, right? Having control means we can get more of what we want, and that equals more options. And so when change happens, we fear losing control because we fear that we won't have as many options. And I touched on this, but specifically to overcome the fear of losing control, focus on the things that you can do something about. And then fear of loss. Number three. A lot of times when change happens, we fear the change or the new circumstances because we fear that it's going to come with it a loss of some kind. For example, maybe you've had a best friend for 20 years, and now all of a sudden she's in a new relationship and she's getting married, and you fear at some level that you're going to lose the closeness of your relationship because now she has another somebody of importance in her life, right? And so even though you might like the person she's getting married to, there might be a little bit of fear of loss in that. And that might cause you to respond in negative or reactive ways. So when we feel those negative reactive emotions bubbling up in times of change, it's important to drill down and think of, number one, why we're afraid to begin with, because once we know that, it's much easier to address and resolve it. Right? So being able to identify why that emotion is there allows us to be more proactive in responding to it. And that's critical. There again, those are the opportunities, leading self in a way that allows us to leverage change and come out of it better, with more influence, with more options, with more opportunities. So circling back around, because all of these principles relative to dealing with change, there again, they're the same leadership principles that help us be effective and be more successful. But so much of this is a mindset shift, right? It's not a practice that helps us be effective at dealing with change, because there's no one practice that would be universally applied and would help you be effective at dealing with change. The principle can be universally applied, but not necessarily the practice. So I'll just share with you an example of when I saw fear of change hold somebody back. And this is several years ago. The organization I was with was going through pretty major change. The industry was going through a major change. And one of the people that worked there, one of the ladies that worked there, she had been there a long time and she'd certainly seen changes in the past. But this particular change was drastically going to affect how we did the job that we were doing. And I remember having a conversation with her and we were talking about how to prepare and get ready for the change. It was coming, you know, what could we do to best prepare our team and get ready to go through this? And she just said, you know what, I don't think I want to deal with the change. And so she retired and that was it. She just decided to terminate her career early because she didn't want to go through this big change. She was like, I don't want to relearn a new computer system. I don't want to relearn how to do something else. And that's a very personal decision. And I'm certainly not beating her up for it. But my point here is to say she was so afraid of the changes and having to get uncomfortable in response to the change, she just retired rather than deal with that new, you know, learning curve. Now, the downside to that is she missed out on so many of the opportunities that came with the new change. We were able to do things quicker and faster and more, you know, more specifically efficiently, and you know, the work itself became much better because of the change. But rather than go through the change, she just said, I don't want to deal with the learning curve. I don't want to get uncomfortable. I don't want to have to relearn things or learn new things. So I'm just going to stop here. And she missed out on how much better things got after the change. So just a story again that reminds me, when changes happen, I have to look for the benefits that they can bring. Now, certainly, it's absolutely true that not all change is positive, but it's also certainly true that if nothing changes, nothing can get better, right? Mac used to say, without change, there's no improvement. And that's so true. Think of the changes in our lives that we want to make. Maybe it's changes relative to your health or exercise routine, or maybe it's changes in your career. You want to grow your influence or start your own business. Those are all pretty major changes, right? And they can be wonderful things. But we have to learn how to look for the positives in any change as it comes up. And there again, focusing on the benefits, focusing on what are the good opportunities that can come from this. Because if we're not looking for opportunity so much of the time, we are missing out on it. And sometimes changes don't feel good. And sometimes we don't feel like being proactive when changes happen. And sometimes it's changes in the organization. Maybe it's a leader who's mandated something. And so that feels uncomfortable or restrictive. But rather than focus on the things that you cannot influence or cannot control, focus on what you can do. And if you are going through a change in a professional organization or something like that, it's an opportunity to increase your influence with the boss, the leader, right? If your leader is mandating a change in the organization, whether it's something on the software or a process or how we do business, the first person to step up and embrace that is going to have more influence with that leader, right? So embrace that and shine and be outstanding. Be the first person to jump on the train and say, you know what? I might not like everything about this, but I love the fact that I can increase my influence by learning to shine and separate myself from the crowd instead of whine, right? It's easy to whine and fuss and complain when change happens, but the opportunities when we shine, embrace it, leverage it, and perhaps even learn to create positive change can lead us to increase our influence exponentially. Until next time.
Start increasing your influence and maximizing your potential with Rhea's audiobooks. Available at audible.com, amazon.com, and iBooks. Please visit rheastory.com to learn about Rhea's books, resources, speaking, and training programs. Thanks for listening.